Talk about the kingdom. The word gospel, what does the word gospel mean? Good news, yeah, the good news, the good news. I wonder if Mark will put a verse up for us. Mark, could you put up Matthew 24, verse 14? Matthew 24, verse 14. Good news, the gospel. We often talk about the gospel of salvation. That's what we preach so often, isn't it? The good news of salvation. Don't wash my hands, watch yours. The good news that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, provided for our forgiveness, and we have heaven because of what Jesus paid for. That's the gospel, isn't it, of salvation. No hell, no judgment, but forgiveness and heaven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. And we so often preach and emphasize the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation is very much part of what we should preach. But let me show you this verse. Jesus said, talking about the second coming and in all the prophecy portion of Matthew, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. You know, so often if you read through scripture, the Bible talks about the gospel of the kingdom. The bit that Jane read to us earlier about a man who was delivered from demonic forces. Jesus says, if I do this by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. The kingdom of God has come to you. Jesus sent his disciples out, preach, the kingdom of God is upon you. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God has come unto you. Preaching the kingdom of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, at least five times he talks about the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit inherit the kingdom of God. Those who are persecuted in righteousness, theirs is the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom right through the Bible, right through the New Testament. And the kingdom is an expansion, if you like, on the salvation is basic to it. The gospel of salvation is basic to it. But it's far more than that. Far more than that. The kingdom, the word kingdom, basically, the word kingdom, basically, means the king's domain. Domain. The king's domain, where the king rules, where the monarch has full sway, where the monarch reigns. And so when we talk about the kingdom of God, we're not necessarily just talking about a physical on the earth kingdom. Like we talk about the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom is basically the domain of Queen Elizabeth, isn't it? The monarch. Similarly, the kingdom of God is saying where God rules. So when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're not looking about a physical location at this point. We're looking about basically the rule of God. Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. It's out of this world in a sense. My kingdom is part of what's going on around in the world. But people don't often actually see the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is basically the rule of God. It's where he is supreme. It's his dominion. The Bible says that when we give our lives to Christ, it says we have passed from the kingdom of darkness. Now who's the king of the kingdom of darkness? Right. So when you deliver from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So it's talking about a kingdom. So when a person becomes a Christian, they're transferred from the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, that's basically ruled by the devil, they rule away from that into the kingdom of God. So often, you know, people say, why does God allow all these things in the world? Well, who is the God of this world? Satan. And so often they think there's only one God. You know, there is only one God. But sometimes they think there's God rules everything and it's his will that's performed everywhere. That's not so, because this world talks about the earth being under Satan's dominion. And so when you talk about sickness and illness and all the tragedies that are coming to people's lives, they're not caused by God. They're caused by the God of this world. But there is only one God. There's not two gods, you know. Satan is a God with a small g. Our God is a God with a big G. Whenever I'm typing letters or I'm doing anything, I always make sure that God is with a capital G. Whichever way you look at it. G. Capital G for God. You know, the Jewish people, they wouldn't actually write the word God, would they? They'd just put the word G and D and miss out the vowels because it was such a sacred name. The kingdom of God. I was thinking about the dying thief. What did he say about Jesus when he's on the cross? He said, remember me, help me to get to heaven. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He saw something, he must have known something about the preaching of Jesus, something about the life of Jesus, that Jesus wasn't just talking about a ticket to heaven, he was talking about the establishing of God's rule, of the kingdom of God, where God would rule absolute and supreme. Throughout the Bible, when Jesus is talking in the parables, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the owner of a vineyard. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man who finds a treasure in a field. The kingdom of God is like unto, and he goes on, all the parables virtually, you find he's illustrating the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is like, you know, the sower. The kingdom of God is like a man who planted. The kingdom of God, all the time. And the ruler, the owner, the sower, the father, the king, in these parables, all refers to God. To the Father, because he's talking about his rule, the principles of how God works in our lives and how God rules. He's the owner, he's a bridegroom. All the pictures are of God. He's the big judge. He's a father. They all show different aspects of God's really wonderful, wonderful character. The disciples said to Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, not for you to know the times and the seasons. Restoring the kingdom. Kingdom was big in their thinking. Very big in their thinking. They were told to go out and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're told, aren't we? The kingdom of God will be preached to all nations. Then will the end come. So often, you know, we talk about salvation only, don't we? And say, you give your life to Christ, you get your sins forgiven, you go to heaven. That is true. But sometimes we leave it there. Just say, hang on a minute, there's something about what we call the Lordship of Christ. There's something about coming under the rule of God and saying, Lord, I'm now in your kingdom. Salvation's brought me into the kingdom, into fellowship with you, out of the power of and dominion of the devil, but now I'm in your kingdom. Now I want to know what it's like to live according to your rules, your principles, your guidelines, your word, what you say, what you want. It's big in their thinking. When he was crucified, one of the accusations was that he was a king of the Jews, above his head. Remember that on the cross? The king. The kingdom was a big topic. When Pilate brought Jesus out to the crowd, what did they say? We will not have this man reign over us, because kingship was in their thinking. Kingship was in their thinking. We will not have this man reign over us. And you know, many in our generation say more or less the same thing, don't they? When confronted with Jesus Christ, when confronted with God, without knowing everything about him, or very little about him actually, people just reject him anyway. Because they don't want anybody to encroach on their way of life, or their way of thinking, or their plans, or their ambitions, or what they think they should do. We will not have this man reign over us. People love this world, don't they? They love its fame, its fortune, its values, its resources. And sometimes people will embrace any other religion except come to Jesus Christ. Because the other religions perhaps don't rule their thinking quite as much. They can still do certain things. But when we are converted, when we give our lives to Christ truly, then we are in the kingdom of God now. We don't enter the kingdom of God when we die. Oh yeah, we'll enter into the fullness of it in heaven with a new body and so on. But when a person becomes a Christian, they enter God's kingdom at that moment. At that moment, they come under the rule of God. The whole life should change. We can't say we're a Christian if we still curse and live like the devil. We can't say that we're in the kingdom of God unless we come under his rule. Our attitudes should and must change when we come to Christ. When I gave my life to Christ, my language changed. My attitudes changed. My ambitions changed. What I was living for changed. My whole worldview changed. Everything changed because I come under a different kingdom. I come under a different kingdom. You know, when we've got a new king, when we come and say, we're serving Jesus, new king, well, what's the king want? What's the king's rules? Well, Jesus said a lot about them, didn't he? For a start, he says, give, and it will be given unto you. The world doesn't say that. The world says, take, doesn't it? Take, steal, beg, borrow, take, gather, you know, look after yourself. But God says, give. That's completely different to the values of the whole of this world. Jesus is saying, just give. More blessed to give than to receive. See, we're under different principles. We're under the rules of the king now. The rules of the king. He's ruling my life. If Jesus rules in my life and I'm under the kingdom of God, then I'm not going to live like the world, whatever they do. I'm going to give, as God says, and not seek to grasp all the time. We don't cheat, defraud, steal. Everybody's doing it. Well, let them. I'm not. That should be our attitude, isn't it? Because I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come into my life. We pray. The world attempts to do everything on their own, don't they? And if eventually they can't do it, they despair. But we pray because we know we've got a Heavenly Father, different rules, different power, what's available to us. And we plug in, if you like, to the kingdom of God and to His power. We walk by faith, not by sight. The world walks by sight on everything. We walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says, prefer others first, doesn't it? So often we push, don't we? The world pushes anyway, the queues. You've only got to go on the motorway to see that, haven't you? People pushing in on you, cutting in and pushing all the time. Prefer one another. I remember a minister once telling me a story. He says he went to a meal once. He says, and there was one beautiful chocolate cake at the table at the end. Yeah, and there was an ordinary biscuit sort of thing, the two of them there. He says, so they were rushing through the meal so he was going to get the chocolate cake. He says, and eventually the other, he won. He says, went and took the chocolate cake. He says, the man opposite said to me, that wasn't very Christian, that wasn't very gracious. And he says, why, what would you have done? He says, I would have chosen the biscuit. He said, that's why I left you the biscuit, because I thought that's what you wanted. Prefer one another. That's what I like about our church, that we don't really have a high table as such, do we, where the elect sit, the deacons sit along the front, or, you know, or the ministers or any hierarchy, because we're all one in Christ. That's why I like to be called Brian. People say, do we call you Reverend Pastor? I say, call me Brian. You know, that's my name, isn't it? And it's like that, we're all one in Christ. We only have one king. We're all followers. I'm a follower. Simon's a follower. We're all followers. None of us are any hierarchy at all. When we get saved, our language changes, doesn't it? We don't affront people. We don't try to upset people. Somebody said, well, it's just me. Well, change it. It's not acceptable. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've got to look at our lives. Somebody once said that when revival happened in Wales, he says the pit ponies, they were so used to working with the miners that they could only work with swear words. And so when the miners got converted, the pit ponies couldn't work, you know, because they only knew operation on swear words. You know, but when Christ comes into our lives, it changes our language as well, doesn't it? What we say, our negativeness, our rudeness. We need to, in other words, knowing Jesus doesn't mean we're just ordinary people with a few religious quirks. No, we're actually born again. We're in a new kingdom. We've got a new king ruling over us. And it changes every aspect of our lives. If God doesn't affect every aspect of our lives, we've got to really say, am I really in the kingdom? Examine ourselves, see whether we really are in the faith. Are we in the kingdom of God? Do we live under the rule of God? Does he really lead us and guide us? Is our whole expectation of living for him? Some people seem to live as if the only thing they're living for is this world. I believe when a person gets converted, they treat their spouses differently. Your wives look after your husbands better. Your husbands look after your wives better. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? The Bible says, you know, we often talk about husbands love your wives. The Bible says, husbands kind of love your wives as Christ loved the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He gave himself. He died for the church. That's quite a challenge for husbands, isn't it? Yeah. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself to give yourself for the other partner. It's not what the world says, is it? The world says, dominate. You know, you have your way. Keep her in order. Keep him in order. Not the Christian way. Partners, yes. But God, rules eventually. Our ambition changes, our attitude changes. That's why I like that song we sung, Come Reign in Us. Ren Collective, Come Reign in Us. Your attitude to life changes, your worldview changes, your view of prophecy changes, your view of all the world events and what's happening in Israel changes. Your whole world, the whole expectation on earth changes. We're not going to have a nuclear war. They're not talking about aliens on other planets. That's all rubbish speculation from the world, isn't it? It's what is in the Word of God that really, really matters. Because we're under a new kingdom now. You know, when you give your life to Christ, when you confess your sin, and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and come into your life, the kingdom of God's come to you. The kingdom of God's come to you. When you're in a meeting and you receive the peace of God, this is the kingdom of God that's come to you. When you get an answer of prayer, the kingdom of God has come to you. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues or get prophecies or words from God, the kingdom of God has come to you. When you get a revelation, when you're reading the Word of God and something jumps out at you, it's an expression of the kingdom of God has come to you. That God's working amongst you. God's showing you things. The Holy Spirit's opening the scriptures to you, revealing things. The kingdom of God has come to you. When God calls you to serve Him, when God calls you to do a ministry, when God calls you to prison or to play or sing or whatever, when God calls you to something, it's the kingdom of God that's come to you. It's the kingdom of God coming. When you seek God for healing, the kingdom of God has come. When you get a miracle of provision of God, provides your need at the last minute or something, it's the kingdom of God that's come. When you prosper amazingly, the kingdom of God has come. When you get a miraculous intervention in answer to prayer, the kingdom of God has come. When demons are cast out, as we read in our reading, the kingdom of God has come. When you're witnessing to somebody and you're sharing and scriptures come to you that you thought you'd forgotten, the kingdom of God, it's all the kingdom of God expression, isn't it? The kingdom in your life, the Holy Spirit working in you, His rule, His reign, His domain being expressed through you. You know, we are children of the kingdom. We should talk about His rule, talk about His kingdom, talk about His kingship, about His coming. Have you ever thought the world talks about utopia? For example, you get some politicians, it's all going to be talked about in the election time. They talk about disarmament. Let's have nuclear disarmament. Do away with all our weapons. I tell you, folks, when Jesus Christ comes, that's going to happen. Jesus says the weapons will be beaten into agricultural implements. It's really going to happen. But it's only going to happen when Jesus comes. See, people know there's a need. They see what's wrong in the world. They say, let's try and do it without Jesus. It isn't going to work without Jesus. And you could be the toughest politician, the most powerful country in the world, but you're not going to do away with any weapons really at all through any disarmament. But when Jesus comes, when the kingdom of God comes, it's going to happen. When the kingdom comes. See, they have that aspiration, but it can only really be realized in Jesus, not through politics. Not through politics. Make poverty history. We don't hear much of that now. But there's a move on it a few years ago, wasn't there? Let's make poverty history. That's impossible in our world today, isn't it? Isn't it possible? With wars going on and with all the difficulties and upheavals that's going on, it's like a drop in the ocean. Drop in the ocean. What we try to do to help. And we should try to help, but we're not going to do it fully. But when Jesus comes, desert blossoms as a rose, doesn't it? And so much other provision when Jesus comes. Only when the kingdom of God has come. Cruelty to animals, the way people treat animals. The Bible says when God establishes His kingdom fully on earth, physically, He says the lion's going to lay with the lamb and a child's going to put his nest in a cockatrice's nest and they're going to be play with snakes, really. Only when the kingdom of God's come. You can't do it now. Only when the kingdom of God comes. Antisemitism is rife in the world today. Because Israel will eventually, when the church is taken out of the world at the rapture, Israel will once again take center stage as God's main vehicle for the knowledge of God and the expression of God to the world. And yet there's so much anti-Semitism today that seems really bizarre. Can't understand it until you understand that the devil doesn't want them to exist. That's where it comes from, anti-Semitism. And that won't be done away with until Jesus comes. know, Jesus was a Semite, wasn't he? When Jesus comes, anti-Semitism will end. In fact, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes, he says people want to, 10 people want to grab hold of the cloak of one Israeli, one Jew, to say, follow me, because God's blessing you, and I want to be on some of that blessing. It says that all the nations will go up to Jerusalem to worship. Those that don't, then they're going to have difficulties in their nation poured upon them. All are going to have to worship him. When he comes, we often say, don't we, in funeral services, there's no more hunger, thirst, sickness, despair, suicides, poverty, disease, want. There's no more war when Christ comes. You know, friends, our joy as Christians is we don't have to wait till we die or for 1,000 years before something happens. But we can enter into the kingdom of God now. We come under God's rule and say, okay, we wait for the fullness of it, waiting for the full reality of it all, but I'm tasting the kingdom now. I'm seeing expressions of the kingdom in my life, in our church. I'm tasting the kingdom of God now. I want to see what Jesus would do. You know, I'm going to finish now. The last prayer of the Bible, really, is what John prayed when he said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. In other words, saying, Lord, come, set up your kingdom. Lord, sort this old world out. Set up your kingdom. And you know, embodied in the return of Christ is the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. John 3, verse 3. Could you put that verse up, Mark? John 3, verse 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Some people talk about, get worried about the born again expression. It's just another term for conversion. Just another term for giving your life to Christ. And Jesus says this, it's interesting. He says, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. See, the world don't understand what I've been talking about today. The world would just think it's just words. They can't understand it at all. But when you're born again, when Christ comes into your life, the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate things and you begin to see the truths of the kingdom. You begin to understand the things about the kingdom. You begin to understand what's going on and what's going to happen in the world and in the future and so on. When we're born again, we begin to see the kingdom of God. And so many out there are still in darkness that don't know the absolute amazing treasures. I hope you read your Bible. Amazing treasures that there is in the Bible. The amazing, amazing things in the Word of God. They don't know that. They don't know what God can do in their life. They have no assurance of eternal life. They go to a funeral and say, oh, she's a star in the sky. Ogwash, isn't it? Absolute ogwash. You know, they're probably in hell or somewhere. You know. Well, it can't be somewhere. It's either heaven or hell, isn't it? But they're not a star in the sky. And yet so many people will believe anything rather than say, let's find out about what the author really says. Let's find out about what God says. And it's only when we come and we say, Lord, come into my life, the Holy Spirit opens our lives, brings us into the kingdom of God, and then begins to unfold things bit by bit. Let's pray. Said enough. Father, just thank you for the kingdom of God. You said that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached before the end. Then the end will come. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this great privilege of preaching the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, the kingdom of God has come to Blackpool. The kingdom of God has come to our lives. The kingdom of God has come to this church. The kingdom of God is going to grow and grow and grow. And Father, we thank you because we're part of that. Show us more of your kingdom, Lord. Reveal to us more of your kingdom, the truths of your kingdom, the treasures of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, just show us more and more of your kingdom. We ask this in Christ's name.